You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Which, on Saturday when we were doing the show, Spangle was completely shocked that my little PC was handling all the things and connecting the users. Like, I just I can just buy USB, like Logitech, these Logitechs. It's like, yeah. I mean, they're really good, especially up close. And they're $50 a piece. You don't go off and get expensive DSLRs and cameras and stuff like that. Is it going to be DSLR quality? No, but, I don't think we have that budget to, do any of that. And none of us, except Donovan, probably wears that makeup. Anyway, so starting, if that red light is to be believed, I believe we are live here on Back on a Monday Night Dream. I'm your host, Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target, here on a beautiful Monday night. We're back in our other locations, back in our own private little dens from Friday. We were at the studio. It was our first episode at the... Ooh, coffee's done. Sorry, my tea has just finished stepping. We were at the studio for the first time, the first stream at the Doolittle Studios. It was great. It was an amazing time. We got to fill some kinks. Barely any bugs. It was an amazing time. I had a blast. I had a ball. It was great seeing everybody there. But the one person that did not show up, we had a remote in, and I was so disgusted with him. I didn't let him have any FaceTime that entire show. But he's here with FaceTime this time. Ryan Hold, we didn't do mic check. Let's hope your mic works. Hey, Ryan Hold.
Hey, how's it going? It's probably the smartest idea to have the no camera thing. I probably should do it now.
You look fine. You just look like some PowerShell script isn't working. That's all you look like right now.
Just like everyone, then.
We're also sitting here with Vincent. Vincent was actually there at the studio on Friday with us. Bearing in the, with producer Paul messing up everything, but he was there.
Of course.
Why don't you go say hi to the people.
Hello, people. Reinhold, you look exhausted. You look absolutely exhausted.
I feel that way.
Do you want to go first and just go to sleep?
I don't know. It's like... I gotta do that. I told you before, I gotta do that migration tonight. So
yeah, he has to stay up. He has to do it.
I was taking a bit of a nap, and I was like, oh, I gotta go. Harry's gonna kill me, so I gotta run in here. So.
Not me. If you would have showed up, I have a backup talking with gas stoves.
I figured we were gonna talk about that anyway.
I did. Vincent up here was like didn't want to do gas stoves, so let's see. Ace goes, it was weird seeing the Big Show live again. Yes, we did the Big Show on Saturday. It was live in person. It was great. We had a lot of fun. And Jacques Dale, yes, Jacques, the YouTube channel, we just got a strike. We did not get banned. We did appeal they did not like us loading ammunition that quickly on stream. By the way, that ammo for that live read for that ammo, like, all right, so it's one scene watching that on camera, but in person watching how little he just kind of just touched that lever and loaded those magazine, I was just like, all right, I don't buy clipper ammo for stripper ammo, but I want that. I might now buying that I might I don't shoot that much. I don't shoot that much. So it's more of, I probably need to convince my uncle to buy it. So I just use it at his house.
You only carry it on your boat.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, shut up and take my money. You guys have no idea how smooth that went in. Like, yes, you watched it, but like, you have, like, in person, it is unreal. It was almost like, do that again. No, that can't be that easy.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Rewind.
Yeah.
Do one more time.
do that one more time. I don't believe that. You know,
it was that to me one more time.
Yeah, and the simple fact that he's getting ready to do like AK-47s too. So it's just like amazing. So I tell anyone, like, if you can pass the background check and you like guns and you have a flat screen TV, you don't have the AK-47, something's wrong with you, okay? Or your Spangle. You know. Here comes Ryan Hole about some other gun. Okay, I was waiting for
Soon, Gouger. Oh, I have are a couple of shotguns, but that's
Soonest Gouger. We will free you from this curse.
Free me from this curse. All right, and that's why we're going to talk about gas stoves tonight.
It'll fear will save the majority of the show for that. I'm sure I can squeeze mine out pretty quickly.
So you say do it last, right?
Yeah, you can do it first and just let it, you know, let it, we'll see where we end up and how much time we have left for the two of us.
All right, that's fine. All right, Vincent, we can let you go first.
So it's in his pain and suffering sooner rather than later.
First, to consider, like, keep bringing up gas stoves, so, you know, but his stove's electric. It'll be fine. It goes like a freshly sharpened knife through a perfectly cooked steak. Yes, yes. Yes, thanks, Ace. Now I want steak. Me too. Actually, and the daughter and I, usually like on this night we do chili dogs, or like we do like some sort of seafood, because my wife, this is her card night. She's out playing weird card games with her friends. I don't know. Euchre, spades, something in Indiana people do. Anyways, but she doesn't like seafood, so I usually sit here and do it with my daughter. And tonight we did sushi. I didn't take any photos because I just, you know, concentrate on spending time with it. And I will say the little goofy sushi bazooka makes me look like I'm really good at making sushi. I'm kind of upset I didn't take any photos because it's like, I'm good. I did try to roll it without the bazooka. Nah.
You're like, absolutely not.
This
is
trash. Not trash. Trash. But with the bazooka roll, I'm a beast.
Yes, and you can cook your steak on the gas stove. Yes, Jacques.
Oh, here it goes. Yeah. I prefer mine on wood. Okay. All right. I like wood.
So, as you know, we're actually going back to the media today. Finally.
Yep.
And I guess I'll go first so I could free Scaliger from his pain and suffering. Because on my list, I did Future Diary, which is absolute trash. I'm going to preface this by explaining why it's on my list, and then I'm going to tear into it for probably a solid 20 minutes. So when this show first came out, I had moved in to a house on college campus with friends. It was right after I had dropped out, but I already agreed to be a part of to live there. And I lived there with two of my friends at the time, Brandon and Joe. Brandon was my best friend at the time, and he was just getting into anime. Throughout high school, the entire time I knew him in high school, he hated it, didn't want anything to do with it, because he had bad experiences with anime kids who ruined it for him. But he watched Steins Gate and Clannad, and then he was like, oh, anime is actually really good. So he decided that he was going to start watching anime again. So I watched anime for the first time.
Nice.
So he had no point of reference for anime. My other friend, Joe, best way to put his media taste is that he's a contrarian with the worst concept of what is good and what isn't.
Okay.
Two of the things that are statements he made in earnest, and it happens that one will piss off either one of you. So the first one is that any movie or any media made before the 90s is bad. He said it's like he didn't care. No matter what, you could brought up anything to him. If it was before the 90s, it was bad.
So it's like Ghostbusters?
Anything before the 90s was bad. And the other thing, the other opinion, was that anything involving space was bad. Any movie involved like space and stuff was bad.
See, add one more point to why the duel needs to come back. Ace goes, Godzilla would like to eat him. Yes.
Right. Please, I agree. Quickly. He had terrible opinions on things. So he was this contrarian that had very distinct opinions. And me at the time, I was just kind of all over the place because I was just, you know, recovering from mental stuff. And was watching whatever. And Joe was the one who happened to find this show. Yes, Zekri, even Terminator. It was bad. His opinions were bad. And I know they were bad. And I told it to his face. Because that they were bad. But he found the show. We watched it as it was coming out. And even when we were watching it, all three of us knew it was a terrible, terrible show. It sucked. But I remember having that fun time of us sitting together roasting this terrible show. Flash forward to the rewatch. The rewatch of this show was very interesting because I rewatched it with Paul, who you guys know is a part of the network.
Producer Paul,
who knew nothing about the show at all. Nothing whatsoever. Who is very particular about narrative and wants the story to make sense over anything else. He turn your brain off is not his thing. It needs to have coherent narrative. And also, he doesn't watch subs. For him, dubs only, because it's easier for him to fully enjoy the animation and everything if it's in English and a language he understands.
He sounds like a scrub. That guy sounds like a scrub and should get good.
And the other person we watched it with is our friend in the chat, Zekri, who
Yes, thanks, Zekri. Thank you. Thanks, Zekri. Never forget
you. Yeah, which is fair. Who had watched the show beforehand by himself and enjoyed it. He watched it in Japanese. He never watched it in English before. But as Zekri will admit, he has very particular tastes in media as well. For him, it's certain things are, he prefers it to be like in the manga versions of things like Berserk or Anohana or things we've talked about before. He has his own particular taste. And me, I'm very eclectic, as you can see from my list. But I'd never watched it in English before. And we sat down and watched it in like the first half, the first like 13, 14 episodes we watched of it. It was fun, hilarious. And we were enjoying ourselves laughing about how bad it is. It was such a fun experience. And then it started really getting bogged down towards the end. You could tell that we were just so tired of how bad this show was. It was worse than I remembered. Yes, it was fun, Zekri. I'll get into it in a second. But we were so bogged down towards the end that it was such a slog. We were just sitting in silence watching the show, just waiting for it to end.
Sorry.
And there was a point where we were on episode 21. And Paul goes, oh, what episode are we on? He's like, oh, it's 21. He's like, oh, thank God. We only have 4 episodes left. And I was like, Paul, you're not counting this one. We still have to count to watch this one. And there was a pause. You just hear him take a big, deep inhale and just yell, fuck, at the top of his lungs away from the mic as loud as he can because he realized how much more pain he was going into. So Future Diaries is a bad show. I don't recommend it for most people.
Wow.
I will give you a full warning ahead. I did not remember some of the worst mature stuff they put into it. And if I did, I probably wouldn't have put it on the list. It's bad. Yeah. But, oh. Yeah, I totally... I watched it 10 years ago and blanked the terrible things. A lot of it, I thought, was a fever dream.
That's fair.
But the premise is this kid, Yuki Taro, is inserted into a game by the god of time, Deus Ex Machina, because of course his name is Deus Ex Machina. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
And he is dying, and he decides to hold a game to decide who the next successor of God is.
Okay.
And the only way to do that is that all the participants are given diaries that tell the future in some way, shape, or form. Some of them are more straightforward, like Yuki himself, who just gets to see what happens if everything goes as he normally would go about things for like the next like 5 minutes. One of them is like one character is a terrorist who is like a more of a revolutionary than a full-fledged murder everybody. Or at least they try to make her that way anyway. And hers is an escape diary that tells her how to escape any situation. Then there's more obscure ones like the dog breeder diary that lets this guy who really loves dogs know where his dogs are at all times.
That's trash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's super
trash. I'd be hurt.
I'd be mad. I'd be really upset if I had the dog diary. But the show in general just kind of plays out with like every two episodes, they find another diary holder. They go through the process of trying to defeat them so that way they can try to lower the numbers because there's 12 diary holders. The issue is the writing is terrible. The writing is absolutely terrible. The writers keep writing themselves into a corner at every turn they can. and it's one of those moments where you realize they're in a corner. Mm-hmm. They're in a corner and they have to pull something out of their ass to not be in a corner anymore. It was like, oh well, this diary just does this now. It never did that before, but now it does that.
Just because the plot needed to moment to progress to go.
They needed a way to get the characters not to die.
See, I wonder where the CW writers came from.
Oh, right. but the most popular character that the internet knows is Yuno, who is the main love interest for the show, who is the poster child for what is the anime term of a yandere. For those who don't know, a yandere is somebody who is so obsessed with another character that they're willing to kill in order to have them to themselves.
Hmm.
And that includes killing the person they're in love with because if they can't have them, nobody can. And she is arguably one of the worst characters written, period. Her and Yuki, the main character, are some of the worst characters, in my opinion, in all media. Because Yuki, who's this main character, doesn't do anything. Almost the entire plot is based around Yuno, whose diary is to let her know where Yuki is in 5-minute intervals and everything he's doing. So she just kills everything for him. He doesn't have to be a protagonist at all because she takes all the burden away from him by doing it for him.
Wow.
And he openly chooses to let her do that instead of growing as a person in any way, shape, or form. There is a moment where they try to show that he has this massive growth, that he's this badass after this traumatic moment happens.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they show that he was just reading a script that she wrote for him to look cool. She wrote a script for him to say to these people so he looks cool. Right now, I'm just scratching the surface of how ridiculous and terrible this show is.
Why would you subject your friends to this?
Because I didn't realize how bad it was, because I watched it 10 years ago, laughing and making fun of it. But now, at present times, when I put Escalja and Zikri through it, I feel bad. Because I made Zikri hate something that he enjoyed. Because he hated the English dub a lot. Because in the English dub, they made Yuno very doting by calling him Pookie and Sugar Bear and shit like that. And it very, very, very much bothered Zikri that they made this character say these things, because he would never have done it in the Japanese version. There is so much wrong with this show. There are so many things that make no sense. We watched it on Hulu, and Hulu has it uncensored.
Yeah.
There's a scene where the terrorist character is kidnapped by a blind guy who has a diary. He locks her in a cell and removes everything but her underwear. And they spend half the episode showing her in shadow and blocked off so you don't see anything.
Okay.
And then they do like the episode, like supposed to be the commercial break. And, and as soon as they come back from that, they just throw that whole, all of it out the window. And so here's nudity here, whatever. They spend all this time building up this, oh, we got to hide it in shadow. And then you just have to ask, then you have to ask the question, why did the blind man strip her nude? He's blind. He can't see anything. He already drugged her, so she was already unconscious. Why did he do that? It makes no sense.
For the cameras?
What cameras? That's the thing. There is so much wrong to encompass in just such a short time for how bad all 26 episodes are. The main character is obsessed with it. He has this victim complex where he feels like everything is against him. Even though he has this love, and it's just because his parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. But it was because his mom decided to break up with his dad because he was getting the family in massive debt because he was a gambler. And she made the conscious decision to go, no, I need to do what's best for my son. And, you know, decided to work this job that was away from where he was living, but let him stay there by himself because she didn't want to uproot his entire life and move it with him. Whenever you meet his mom, she's very loving and doting on him and like cares for him so much. When she meets his girlfriend, which is the psycho girl, but she has no reason to believe that she's psycho. She sees her as this very sweet and caring girl who makes dinner and is very respectable and nice. And she immediately accepts her and treats her very well. And she's a great mother.
Good. Good positive female role model.
You can put spoiler on this, but I don't care if you want to spoil it or not, because this show's terrible. but his dad shows back up later on in the story because his dad made a deal with one of the other diary holders to clear all of his gambling debts if he breaks his son's phone, which in that world, the diary is the phone. If you break the phone, then you die. Because one of the rules is that you either die, you break their diary, and they die.
The dad, I wouldn't know if I want my diary being a phone. Maybe a Nokia.
They were all flip phones. Ooh. And then one of them was a paper. And like they stretch the concept of what destroyed is. She had a full scroll of paper, one puncture hole, that's destroyed. It's gone. She dies instantly.
What kind of CW crap is that?
Right? But his dad shows back up.
He's the first speedster. Sorry.
His dad shows back up, throws his son under the bus. When there's a chance for him to redeem himself because his son is okay. They go to the top of a tower in Japan. And when he has to choose to save his son or get his son's diary and break it to clear his debts, he goes for the diary. Because his son is hanging over a precipice and the yandere has to save him. And then when the building starts coming down, his dad steals their only parachute to let them die in this tower because he wanted to survive. And the only reason they got out is because they beat the other diary holders because, you know, plot armor, you know, thick, heavy.
Get that. Yeah.
You the mean dad gets the only out, one, right?
Of course. The dad gets out with the parachute, runs into the mom who dropped everything as soon as she heard her son was there, confronts the mom and kills her. Because the mom was like, dude, our son is up there. Why are you here and he's not here? What's wrong with you? He gets angry and kills her.
Okay.
The next episode is about Yuki proving that his dad was the one that killed her. Follows him around, and his dad goes and buys a telescope. Because the whole thing is that he wants to go see the stars with his dad. And he confronts his dad, like, dad, you killed mom, what the heck? And his dad basically goes, I'm sorry. Here, this telescope, me buying this telescope shows that I'm going to be a better person. Do you forgive me when I come out of jail? And he goes, yes, of course. Great. Awesome. I totally forgive you for killing my mother. And is totally fine with it. And is totally happy and is content with how things are going until his dad gets killed. And then that's when he decides, you know what? I have to be God to bring people back to life because now both of my parents are killed. You know, this loving, doting, caring mother that did everything in her power to treat him well. And then her murderer is the reason why she even gets any redemption.
Damn.
This is why the show's terrible.
This is trash.
This is all terrible.
Does that sound better in Japanese?
No, absolutely not. This is all bad. This is not even getting into the stupid narrative stuff of like the yandere was actually the winner of the previous game. No, it doesn't, Zikri. Whatever. Zikri goes, yes, it does. It doesn't get better in Japanese.
I'll say it sounds to me like Greek mythology, but a little bit.
See, even Reinhold thinks it probably sounds better.
It's not getting into like the fact that the yandere had already won the game before and like they're in different timeline because she manipulated time so she can go to another timeline because she wanted her boyfriend back and she has like no consequences and the only reason he wins is because she kills herself because she chooses to die.
That's love.
And then when he becomes God, he just sulks for eternity and just let the world die because he doesn't have her, so it doesn't matter anymore. Which is so stupid. But then it gets even dumber because they have an OVA that makes it even dumber because they were fighting in a third world when she killed herself and he became God. The version of herself in the third world who has no idea who this guy is believes that there's something missing in her life and contacts God in that world and ends up getting the memories of the first one that died. And so that way she can live in the first and in the guy's world after he is alone for so long. She breaks into his world and they recreate life. Oh my god, it's so stupid. Oh, it's so fucking dumb. It is so bad. It is. I can't believe we spent 12 hours watching that show. And it was on the list because it was fun to make fun of it before, and it was it was great fun towards the first half of it when it was just absurdist and watching Zikri get upset because they because the Japanese because the English version ruined the Japanese stuff that he liked and the and you know Paul watching the absurdity of one of the characters literally the escape character with the escape diary blows out a big cloud of smoke and it's just a motorcycle materializes for her to escape, which doesn't make any sense.
Just, so it's not like Domino where like an accident happened on the
bridge and the motorcycle
just happens to be right there in front of
her. She's also a character they try to make be like redeemable when the first time you meet her, she's blowing up a school full of children. It's just like this show is terrible, and it was it was great to watch with people. You know, I got an amazing moment quote out of Paul because the mom was talking about the Yandere character, and Paul goes, "Because she has divorce, you can tell that she has bad taste in character. So her character writing is more consistent than Sword Art Online." Oh, it's not Cope. I know it was bad.
Oh, so I want you to know I'm very sad that I missed that.
Well, you wouldn't have made it through three episodes.
Wow, just
fell asleep. You would have just said no, I'm done.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I had fun because we enjoyed it. So watching it with other people, that's why this was on the list. So I had a very fond memory of watching it the first time with friends, and then watching it a second time with friends in a completely different context was also very entertaining. I enjoyed the experience.
So what did you get out of the first time?
Oh, the first time, but we also made fun of it, and we knew it was bad. I just didn't remember it was this bad. There was literally a point that happened that I thought was a fever dream that I had. Where I was like, oh, this is too stupid. This couldn't happen in the show. And it happened. I was like, oh my God, it wasn't that stupid. It wasn't too stupid to be in the show because it was right here. Because it didn't make any sense for it to happen when it did.
Eskimo Kisses says, don't forget me first. Is that like a?
I'll explain it off camera. It's not appropriate for stream.
You're right. You already got one strike in a week.
No. I will save it for later. But yeah, I enjoyed watching it with friends. That's why I watched it. Sometimes you just need to watch trash together.
Yeah.
Because that makes sometimes just ripping on things, especially things that other people love, and you make them not love it, is fun.
It's good.
And now I have freed Escalja from his curse. He will never have to talk or think about this show ever again.
That's good. I'm glad.
Except for every time we bring it up to him when we see him from now until the end of the time. I mean,
of course.
Yeah. Make sure you bring it up. You see Escalja out there walking around. Bring it up to him. He loves that show.
Yeah, bring up that. Future Diary, the Halo TV show.
Look, he can't wait. It's the only way he's going to get new Halo content is the Halo TV show. Oh, man. Takes weight off, put weight back
on. Yeah, there's my 25-minute rundown of this nonsense. And it's, you know, sometimes it brings people with different tastes together to enjoy something that is undoubtedly a 2 out of 10.
All right, Ryan Holm, you make it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You ready to go?
Sure. Jeez. I believe what I was supposed to be talking about was Charlie Chaplin, right?
Mm-hmm. You City Lights in particular.
City of Lights in particular.
Content manager, Benson, is that right?
Basically.
I just want to make sure I didn't mess up the 3x3.
No, you want to save Asimov for the end.
Yeah. So really, we're talking just about Harry. Charlie Chaplin was, you know, a genius as it goes. I think everybody's, there's not going to be too many people's going to argue with that. A lot of people are going to reference things like Modern Times and the Great Dictator, et cetera, which are great movies and very inventive. I mean, really what he did was kind of invent genres. So before Charlie came along, movies were very fast paced, Keystone Cops, you know, quick, you know, the max sentence stuff was just how movies were. You didn't have a lot of exposition. You didn't have a lot of time building a story. You just like, here's a story, here's a situation, have some laughs, ending, blah, 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 move on to the next one. What Charlie did was looked at things a little bit differently and tried to tell much more interesting stories. So in that regard, he kind of changed the idea of filmmaking at the time, which was relatively still kind of new. And what you could do with a movie, because most people didn't think you could do stuff like that. It was, you know, that was stuff of books. So Charlie had a, you know, a pretty interesting life, I would say. He had his own particular peculiarities, especially when it came to dating and marriage and things like that. Which I don't know if I want to really get into, but if you want to know about it, you can look it up, obviously. So, but one thing that happened to him that kind of shows the kind of character he was, the things that kind of made him who he was, this great movie maker, was the movie City Lights.
Okay.
City Lights was a, in my opinion, it was the, it's one of the greatest love stories ever told. And it's very basic. And if you look at things, if you look at it today with everything else that's come since then, you know, you might think, oh, that's cute, I've seen this before. But you understand the reason you've seen this before is because he did it before. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody had done it before. He was the first one to do it. He's making this movie. He's got this idea for a movie and he just starts making it. And that's kind of how people did things back then. You just made the movie. You didn't sit down and you write out this elaborate script and have rewrites and people discussing it, et cetera, et cetera. He just started making the movie. And at this point he had his own studio. He had some, you know, a lot of money in the bank from successes before. And he spends over 2 years to make this movie. And it wasn't like, okay, we'll do this part and we'll take a 2 month break and we'll come back and reset up over here. It was in the studio every day for 2 years, the majority of the time trying to figure out how to make the story work. Because the story relies upon the fact that the tramp character, which was, you know, the character Charlie plays, relied on the fact that he had that a blind woman mistakes him for a rich person. All right, so he's got to sell this. How does this blind woman believe that this guy is is convinced in her mind that this tramp is a rich person, and he can't figure it out. While they're on set and they're not doing anything, of course, he's paying his people. He's like, continues paying them even when they're not working, which a lot of people applaud him for, because he was just like, even when the you know, recession and everything else happened, the depression and all that. So he is spending all this time trying to figure it out. And it comes to him one day in a stroke of just imagination and genius. He hears somebody's car door close outside the office. Mm-hmm. And that's like, he goes, that's it. That's how they do it. And there's old footage of him trying to figure this out. There's different methods of he's doing it. They shot different ways of figuring it out. And then he hears the car door thing, and it made sense to him that the tramp is trying to run from the police. He goes into this one side of this one car, and it comes out the other side. When he does, he slams the door. At the time, if you had a car, you were fairly rich, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how the blind girl figures, you know, assumes that he's a rich person, because he's getting out of the car in front of her. Now, the story itself is like I said, pretty basic. I don't know how much spoiler really I want to get into, but all I know is that the last scene of this movie, even just thinking about it, starts to make me want to cry. So it's like I don't know if you've seen Casablanca, you kind of feel the same way. You see that last scene of the movie and you're like, whoa, this whole journey came to an end in a very satisfying, happy and sad way at the same time. So
I totally understand.
And that's how, you know, when I first saw that movie, and like I said, today, still just thinking about the scene starts to get me teared up. And it's most likely nothing to do with I think the movie's that great, but it could just be that when I saw it, it hit me in a certain way that it indelified itself into my brain a certain way. So, you know, if I were to sit down and show it to some other people, they may just go, well, you hyped this up pretty big. It wasn't that big of a story. I've kind of seen this kind of story before. That's why it is to me that big of a deal.
I totally understand that. I get that. Trust me, with all the free time, I usually think about what I'm going to talk about eventually. I have that same reaction to the next thing when we do our next 3x3. The July and April, I have that same kind of emotional response. I totally understand that some people might not have the same one, but I get exactly where you're coming from of like, this hits me in this particular way for me that even just thinking about it will get me choked up.
Yeah. I've not watched that one, but Casablanca, that's one of my faves. I love going back to the people. Like, I remember when I showed it to my wife because she's never seen it. And, it was watching her, like, she had light bulb moment because, like, from cartoons in the 90s, stuff like that, we're like constantly keep referencing Casablanca, which as a kid is like, I have no idea. I don't get where it's coming from. This clearly isn't for me. And then, you know, get me able to watch it, and especially that end. Yeah,
that scene, and then there's, you know, of course, It's a Wonderful Life is another great example of how a movie can do that. And it's funny because we were talking about the other day about me getting into it, watching reactions, but I've been watching people react to Casablanca, and it's just like they come away going, I can't believe how great that movie was. Even today, it holds up to people who are just now in their 20s, right? So that's 100 years ago. for these people, it's like and they're still watching it. I know it's media that was done before the 90s, so it's obviously bad. But that's really what a lot of, because if you look around, a lot of the stuff that you see on TV, all the movies, things like that, those stories, you'll see the basis of those in these movies. Yep. And this is one of the prime base movies.
He typed it out like right as you said it, Reinhold. It's perfect.
Yeah. Gold. Beautiful.
But yeah, being the original, being like the classic, the thing that builds it is always helpful, because without it, a lot of the other stories wouldn't have been told. And that while some people might go, oh, I've already seen this before, blah, 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 it's more of this is the beginning. You know, this is what started everything.
Well, I can tell you what's not going to be we got to the start, and definitely not going to be the end of everything, because I can't wait till we end our 3x3s in 2024. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. really, we're so close to the end of the.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I will just be honest with you. If in the next one that we do, when I do Your Line April, if there's a point where I just turn off my camera, you know it's because I'm crying. I'll just be honest with you.
Okay. All right. It's fine. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. We'll put that off.
Well, anyway. By the way, just to vary the lead a little bit, if it sounds like this was an important movie to me, it's not the top of my list. Next week is going to be, and it's not love story emotional. It is mind breaking emotional for me. So. That'll be fine.
Okay.
I totally understand. I'm going to harm you emotionally.
All right. So what has to do damage to my life points directly?
That's only if Harry chooses to watch your line.
He's just going
to
be himself from now on. That's how it's going to work out.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It'll do that. It'll do that. Well, we went to the beginning, and now here we are at the end of the Universal Century. So, hold on.
Oh, and it's the end of Harry's Gundam on the list.
Oh, I forgot.
On the 3x3. End of Harry's on the 3x3.
Wait till I hit the extended list. It gets to the 2024, okay?
Well, when we do our honorable mentions, which is going to be a half an hour a piece. The Harry's is going to be, all right, it's been 2 hours. I've done just the Universal Century of Gundam this time. And let's move on to the side Gundam here.
I'm just saying that I've missed some Gundams.
Gotcha.
You know, G Gundam, very important to me. And I did not put it on the list.
Apparently, Scout just said he's going to be more himself, but worse, and directed at you, Harry.
Wow, it's okay. It's okay. Gets too close. I'll just do what I know. I'll just put on the Palmer pellet, which is hugs.
Worst happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so. We went to the beginning, now we're at the end of the Universal Century with Gundam Unicorn. Yesterday's G Gundam is a lot of fun. People who hate G Gundam don't know how to have fun.
Or have never played Street Fighter before.
Oh, yeah, or never played Street Fighter. That's true, too. Yeah, you never played Street Fighter, watch this, you know, it's like, can't you just have fun? Did you ever just want to have fun? Is it a little racist and problematic? Yeah, it's a fun drinking game. Play watch G Gundam, take a shot every time it's problematic. It's great.
You'll be trash in the first episode.
Every time it does something, that's kind of racist.
What do you mean the Gundam from Mexico has a sombrero? Oh,
boom. Take a shot. You know, in the it's only bad because like the Japanese Gundam is like some sushi roll or nothing like that. It's just like a regular Gundam, you know. But like Mexico, sombrero, yeah. Russian guy's a prisoner from the gulag, really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you that a good example of that was I saw somebody was watching those Marx Brothers movies. I love Marx Brothers, man. They're one of my favorites, but. If you go back and look at those movies, there's some scenes they're problematic. In the middle of it, they're breaking out in blackface and doing all kinds of stuff. And it's like, whoa. But at the time, you know, it was accepted.
I think one of my favorite, all right, I'll just say this to get back to the show, but one of my favorite like renditions, newer things of someone is Stephen Crowder. Did a episode for Culture Appropriation Month, and it was, you could tell this joke, they wanted to know like how far they could actually push it, right? Okay. And you could tell like they really thought about like, hey, you know what, we're gonna get on the air and do blackface, right? But someone was like, no. So they made the joke like they're actually going to do it, and then bailed at the end and just had like the we're not doing that.
Trudeau did it 10 years ago and nobody lets him live that down now.
Which I found hilarious because it's just like, yeah, we're gonna
I watch people, you know, watch Trading Spaces, mm-hmm. Trading Places, and I'm like, yeah, great movie, classic, right? But there's mm-hmm. that scene and you're like, whoa.
Even some modern stuff. You know, Tropic Thunder.
Oh yeah,
there's some real problematic stuff.
Tropic Thunder did it in such a brilliant way.
There's certain things now that has become more problematic. You don't go full R word.
Well, the Black Draft. Well, we picked up Robert Downey Jr. in the Black Draft. Pick him up. We'll go pick.
That's You can't touch Black that delegation. That's kind of classic movie.
We'll take Condoleezza Rice back, but we want Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Best trade.
I mean, that movie knew it was doing what was wrong. What it was doing was wrong, but he did it because of that, to tell a certain, you know, it's
yeah. Correct. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the brilliance of the satire of it, as opposed to just doing it because, you exactly. know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it because there's a reason that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. 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 So back to me and Gundam Unicorn. So, Gundam Unicorn. Great story. Starts out just like any other Gundam series. Young kid dreams of going out into the stars and playing with mobile suits. Well, unlike certain modern Gundam series where they take 20 episodes to Gundam, we're going to Gundam you right in the first episode.
It was only 12, sir. It was 12 episodes.
More foreplay. Get it on.
It was 12 episodes of the Gundam, sir. Not 20.
Whatever. It was like 12 episodes. It was 12 episodes. Whatever. 12, 10, 15. Who cares?
I do, sir. I do.
Do you? Do yes. you care? Man. So Gundam Unicorn has a it happens after everything else. So like I have talked about I actually skipped over Char's Counterattack. I didn't do that one. But nice, yeah, I did Char's. Yeah. Maybe I did. I don't know. I've gone through like so you have may have thought, like I've hinted at like the crimes and the Earth Federation not being the good guys in all this. Well, this one, Gundam Unicorn, it kind of confirms it. And it gets a great scenes of the Earth Federation, of the people who believed in the story and everything else with the Earth Federation, and it believed in the good message that it has. Then also the exact same time it worked with a lot of the people from Zeon who believed in the existence of new types and believing humanity needs to let go of their past in order to go forward. And these two type of groups coming together to basically stop the for lack of a better term, the conservative Earth Federation force is trying to consolidate and conserve their power, and behind the scenes, which I also said in the other Gundam series, was through Anaheim Electronics. While everyone was suddenly real, it became more common knowledge now that Anaheim Electronics, one of the big corporations in the Universal Century, is supplying weapons and creating weapons and almost starting wars between the two groups to sell more weapons and is behind everything and the seats of power in the Earth Federation. So, yeah, it's one of my, and at this time, Armoro is done and gone. We're far ahead of everything else. And most of the heroes of the past are old, dead, and retired at this point. So Char Aznable is dead. Char's gone. And this other guy is going around, which is called like the Ghost of Char, which he looks kind of like Char, acts like kind of like Char, but is not Char Aznable. He's kind of possessed a little bit of his spirit, almost like a clone of him, as he goes around and leads our main protag through the whole series to basically use the Gundam Unicorn to help unlock the truth that the Earth Federation has been providing. So the main protagonist, he is technically like he's an orphan. He's been because his dad kind of pushed him away. His dad, which you find out, is actually part of this unicorn secret society. And you meet him in the first episode as he gives him his Gundam. Right? No, he's not his own brother. It gives him his gun. It gives him the Gundam as everything's going around because everyone's looking for this gun, the Gundam Unicorn. The Gundam is the key to everything. You got to be a new type to unlock it, and it's the key to everything. So they made this Unicorn Gundam, and the dad actually dies giving his son the Gundam. Guns right there. The guy he didn't know if this was his father. He was just chasing some girl there to like get into. It's like it's a great fast pace, pulls you in. What is going on? But like I said, Gundam's right there, and he basically fights to get out of the colony as the colony's being attacked. Great show. Like I said, great show. And you know, of course, like things Gundam stuff happens. It's a new model Gundam. Then Earth Federation, you get the plans for that Gundam and then make their own. They make a black Gundam. And what you're going through is the existence with your. Hold on, I should probably hit the spoiler check here. I almost did that. That was bad. Almost did that.
While you push that up, we'll want to explain what we mean by Gundam. Something becoming very Gundam is when it gets really dark and depressing and extremely violent out of nowhere. That's what it means to Gundam. And so we were talking about the Witch of Mercury, which took a while for it to Gundam. And now that it Gundamed, everybody is excited. So.
Okay, his dad wasn't fringed. Okay,
that's not. He was kind of fridging, sir.
It's not fridging. No, oh no.
Oh, he died to give the main character the main weapon and a driving force. Seems kind of fridged to me.
No, only driving force he got gave him was like just protect the Gundam at all costs. But he didn't even know his son was going to be there. He was getting ready to get the Gundam himself and leave. But he sees him. I'm just like, get in the damn Gundam. It'll react to your, because like because they set up, it's like it's set up for my DNA. It'll work for you. Get this Gundam. Get the hell out.
Getting the Gundam, Shinji.
Getting the Gundam, Shinji. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So not really. It's not fridging, you know. Then you get like killed. Like you didn't get killed off screen. Pure on screen. He's there, and he wasn't intending to die. He was intending to get the Gundam, and so because he was supposed to go evacuate in the. Boy, didn't he went there, and since the delay happened from them talking, he gets killed. That's it. Yeah. So,
yeah. So continue with your actual spoiler.
Where was it? Oh yeah. So like basically all this thing, we're just remembering the spoiler tag, was because what the Earth Federation and Anaheim Electronics have been doing is stifling the actual existence and proving the existence of new types through the entire Universal Century. The Earth Federation has never really. It was also very weird that they've never. One, they've been afraid of new types, but they've never really set out. They've made them, but they've never really set out that they actually existed. And it was kind of weird. I used to think it was just poor translation, and it wasn't. No, this was intention, because and you find that through Gundam Unicorn, it is intended that the Earth Federation will not acknowledge the existence of new types, even though they. Recognize their abilities and kind of start to classify them as pilot aces. They're not new types or aces. They're just ace pilots. They're not nothing to see here. They're just ace pilots. They're just very good pilots. It's just because after the first war, remember that they were so afraid of Armor, they lock them away and put them and actually breaks out of his home detention thanks to Char. Let's see. Can you imagine if the Ava were terrible to pilot? Shinji would have just been laughing and killing angels and then happy. Okay. All right. Fine. No, we're not doing that. Anyways. And the reason for it, when you get to the end with all these people, like just sacrificing themselves and getting to the end and showing properly trying to show people the existence of new types of their Federation, trying to prove you get to, Laplace's box, and what Laplace's box is, when they open it up, it is this basically this treaty that started the Universal Century, and it is different than anyone else's treaty. This treaty has one extra line, one extra addendum, which is the official treaty, and it states if they're coming out to the stars and a new existence of humanity is supposed to be discovered, that the Earth Federation will acknowledge it and move closer to trying to work with this new type of human being that exists out here. banning the existence of new type. One, not acknowledging new types as the one to this and burying that in La Paz's box, which Anaheim Electronics spent billions to try, because it takes away their power. So.
This makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah! Brilliant thing. And then they get all the contents, get the record of Laplace's box, and the Earth Federation goes to try to steal it, and they're supposed to, you know, go blast one of those massive, like, you know, like military cannons that are meant to take out Star Destroyers, and the main character ends up blocking it with the other Black Unicorn using their new type abilities in the front of everybody, absorbing everyone's hopes and dreams in the area and blocking the shot, you know. And at the exact same time, the ghost of Char finally lets go of the clone and goes off into the afterlife, which was very putting. This is like the Char's like, new types don't need me anymore. They don't need me. I don't need to be here to be their devil, their protector. You know, I can go off and go do my thing. And it was, you know, touching to see like Char could actually finally rest in his grave. So.
So you say his actual soul was possessing that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of. Did it happen before in the series?
No. No.
What the fuck is that, Harry? What kind of shit is that, Harry? That is a spirit. Very supernatural thing for them to throw in randomly in a high tech.
Well, spirits talk to people. They do talk to people, and it usually happens when new types are under a lot of stress or things that are happening around them that they can talk to different spirits or people who die, stuff like that. That does happen.
Okay, but you said he latched onto this person.
Oh yeah, the whole latching on and just doing things with this person. Yeah, that has never happened. I've never seen that. Maybe that happened in the manga that I haven't read. I've never seen that. That was different. Yeah, but the idea of like them talking through it, like Lala Soon would always talk to Char and Armoro, try to get Armoro and Char to stop killing each other because they're better as friends than they are as enemies. Which goes back to old UC stuff. But yeah.
You want to drop the spoiler tag?
Oh yeah. Good old Lala Soon. But yeah.
So why is this on your list?
This is on my list is because, like I said, it's more of a good end cap to the Universal Century and showcasing that your government may be awful and bad, but they also probably are sometimes aided, pushed by awful, awful people in business and that are feeding both sides. And this is just, you know, it was also neat because in the also the series is that one person from American Electronics, one of the family members, just said, like, I can't do this anymore. This has to stop. U-Type exists. They exist. I've seen them. You know, and releasing it out. That's, you know, so I enjoy this series. And I was put off by it for the longest time. And it's also on my series because Gundam Unicorn, the OST, the first noticing mock, stuff like that. That is, you know, I had that in my wedding. I loved it. Loved the song. Love the soundtrack for it, so that has a special piece in my heart, though, you know. So, you know, I fell in love with the soundtrack before I fell in love with the series. It took me a while to watch the series, but soundtrack, I thought it was a massive banger.
So. Wait, since it was in your wedding, I guess that definitely shows it's influential.
Yeah. You know, and it's Gundam. You know, it's Gundam.
Why was this on the list over some of the other Gundams?
Of the other series Gundam, well, it's more of an end cap. See, like G Gundam can end cap anything, and I think it's to me gets a good door closing on Universal Century before Hathaway, because like a Hathaway opens up a whole nother can of worms inside of UC. Yeah. Just what you thought UC is over. Just wait, there's more.
Because of course there is.
Yeah, it's always more.
That's how Gundam is.
It's Gundam, you know, it's a. And then Gundam Hathaway, I recommend people watching or reading some of the manga because it was very troublesome. They show this guy who's got like, because like it's after some of the wars, he's, you know, thrown away, not being like a pilot anymore, and he's sitting on the military base, and some people recognize who the heck he is, and they're shocked, you know, like because he's got confirmed kills. He's got a lot of confirmed kills. And a lot of people, all the other pilots are like, oh my God, you're so much better. And he's just, because he's ashamed of all the confirms he kills. He hates them. He hates the kills that he has. He's not proud of the kills. He's not proud of any of them. And the other pilots are hyping him up. And one of the captains are trying to get him into the new Gundam. It's like, you've met Armoro. You know all these people. You know, you stood toe-to-toe to Char, you know, getting in this new Gundam. No, I was a kid then, and no. I'm past that now. You know, I'm beyond that. You know.
By the way, Scouter, that's a really weird way to spell Witcher Mercury. Is it the only Gundam that matters is Iron-Blooded Orphans?
Yeah, I see that now. Yeah, I want you to, honestly, I read that as Irritable Bow something. I couldn't picture what the O stood for. I don't know why.
It prefaces with the word Gundam, Harry.
I know, but like, I don't know. Every time I see IB, is Irritable Bow? Yeah.
Now, that's a weird Gundam series there, Harry. I didn't know about that. The Irritable Bow Gundam. Good. That sounds rough. Sorry. That sounds like Darling in the Franks to me.
Oh man, we should. That's one series I gotta make. I would like to watch Reinhold watch as Darling in the Franks.
Watch how awesome it is.
And never, stop never, at episode 10. You never let him finish it. Just never like, oh no.
Stop at episode 10.
That's the end of the episode. What? No. What happens? I gotta know. No,
it's better this way.
This is better this way. Just it stops there. But what?
Reinhold, so you understand, Darling in the Franks has a Game of Thrones final season level destruction of its series in just one ending. In like two episodes, they just go, and all these things, set it on fire.
They built an amazing world. Romanticize, make you have all this stuff that just makes you wonder what the heck is going on, what happened, and they start opening things up. It's like, okay, this is good. And then it's just like,
just so you know, the penultimate episode, they demystify the villain entirely and explain his entire life. And then the final episode, they just take all the cool, awesome lore and stuff, the world they were building, and just throws it in the trash.
So, like, Lost is what you're saying.
Thanks for the biddies.
Yes, but worse. But worse.
Worse?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, Paul, I finally convinced them to do the show today. Finally. After so long. After a month.
I was fine with talking gas stoves. Let's talk gas stoves. All right. Gas stoves.
I don't have my GoPro on my gas stove yet, so.
God, just I don't know. The gas stove thing is so stupid. That's
why I wasn't just talking about it. Where you were talking about it is the most stupid thing about it, right? I mean, that's the fact. One guy makes an offhand comment, and all of a sudden, it's the end of the world. We're all going to die.
But
no one cares. It's not an actual issue.
Short fat otaku said the best thing is like, can you imagine if asbestos was found bad now? Oh my God, come and take my asbestos. Come and take my it's like, listen, this thing is building up bad nitrogen in your house. Ventilation doesn't help.
Over my cold, dead body.
Yeah,
exactly. What do you mean lead in the pipes make you sick? You come get this lead out from these bullets.
It's big brass. Big brass is causing everybody to think that the lead is bad.
God, I put lead in my gasoline just like my dad and my. Anyways, yeah, lead in my gas.
It's like my dad and my sister mom.
God damn it.
And my uncle grandpa.
Oh my God. Best is in the older filter for the coup.
Yeah, you gotta bring back the asbestos cigarettes.
Oh God, the asbestos cigarettes.
Yeah, bring them back.
God damn it. God damn it.
Yeah, my mother niece.
Remember being in the basement with Maya at undisclosed location, and we're sitting there looking at something. We both go like, "I think that's asbestos," and she like touches it and goes, "Yeah, that's asbestos. We should leave."
Yeah, it is.
Good. Get out of this space. All right, time to go.
I think. So my garage is an old, you know, old garage.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather put, you know, siding on it that he just found at a site because that's what he did.
Oh, no.
I think it's asbestos. The
actual siding. Set it on the easiest way. Try to set it on fire. If you take a torch to it and it doesn't catch, that shit is asbestos. So I tell people, you know, the easiest way to find the asbestos, if you don't catch for a propane torch, hey, this is business. This is business. Just like when I was at a Scalable, they were like, you know, is this tile asbestos? I was like, regular tile would melt, right? Boof, turn the torch on, set it to the tile. Oh, that tile's asbestos.
That tile did not melt at all.
At all. They're just like, meh.
Chilling.
Yep. Yep. So,
as long as you leave it inert.
And don't touch it. Leave it alone. That's why, like when people go, like, let's tear down the walls of this, you know, 150-year-old house. Nah, bro, leave those walls.
Leave it. Leave it. Just leave it.
You know. At least now. Hey, of course, you know, here in a bit, you know, 50 to 100-year-old houses are going to be like almost modern. Of course, like, which is weird. It's like seeing how bad some of those houses that were built in like the early aughts have gotten. Some of them are not in good shape. They have. Some of them are. Really bad after 20 years.
Yeah.
I've heard horror stories of some of these newer houses after 20 years. I'm like, wow, your house is falling apart. What about yours? Like, well, mine was built in the 60s. It was supposed to be the last house someone bought. So it's pretty sturdy. Still here.
This can take a volcano.
Right.
There's no volcano around. Exactly. Yeah.
I know, like, that's why I told people, like, some of those houses that were built, like, the 1950s, stuff like that, those houses were supposed to be generational. Like, you were going to give this to somebody, and that's the way they were built.
Yeah, in the 50s, too, they were supposed to withstand nuclear war, because that was the big fear at the time, right? So,
yep.
I mean, the house I live in now is made out of concrete block.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere for a while.
Yeah. Most of these houses are like, well, if it goes down, just use your insurance. Hope you have outside backup.
But I had a friend of mine who had a built house in one of those subdivisions in the early 90s or whatever. And it's he had a problem. We went to go look in. I was looking at what they were doing in there. And we had built my mom and dad's house when I was growing up. That I grew up in, the house I grew up in. And that thing's still rock solid standing. And the house he bought, I think, is probably about ready to collapse in on itself. So.
Yeah, to get ready to replace
the shortcuts they took, and oh man, just because they're trying to do it so quick, the shortcuts are crazy.
I know. When you get like some house that was like 120 years ago, it's like, oh no, the floor has dropped a half an inch. It's not going to go any further. It just dropped a half an inch. It's more annoying. We can fix it, or just deal with a half an inch slope to the center. Will it eventually go in? No.
It's fine. Let's just sit there. It's called vibing. This is what these younger kids call it.
Yep. All right. So,
so the big question is, do you want to do honorable mentions?
Oh, yeah. Honorable mentions for before we do the last
one. Before the last one?
Yeah.
It's fair. Do we want to limit how many is on our honorable mentions list?
No. Speed round.
Okay.
Maybe we should, or should we do like our honorable mentions should be in February, like our log episode of February? We should do our honorable mentions.
Jesus Christ. We could. This would be us talking hours upon hours of stuff.
No, just do
all right.
Just get them done. You know, get them done. You know.
Yeah, we can do if you really wanted to make it a long show, be our honorable mentions, and then we can still do the final episode as a Monday thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, As long as it takes. And as long as it takes.
Till we get a new idea.
Oh, the next idea is themed cars. So I figured we get on, we'll get people to vote, and we build cars to a theme. Okay. So I think like the first one would be the Uwoo Honda Civic.
Hey, you know what? I was joking before stream. I would just turn off the camera and start playing a video game instead. That's mm-hmm. what would happen on this.
All right. So I found this 1970 Lincoln Continental, right? For sale. It's a little rough, right? I think we can fix it up. It'll look nice.
I'm not that kind of otaku here. I'm not a car otaku.
I got a 70 Le Mans.
See? You and Danny Lundy. You and I should go buy one. I bet I could buy one to get mine working before you and Danny.
Be surprised. Mine probably, if I put a new battery in it, it'd probably start right up.
Perfect. That was well done, Paul. Well done.
These seats are made of real pantsu. New or used? Oh, only the finest used. Sniff seat. Sniff
seat. Seat belt nuzzles you. Terrible.
It's only fun to take it, put hidden cameras in it, and then take it to like some shop to get an oil change.
Do what they have to do. Like, oh. This is terrible.
Yeah, right. Excuse me, what? And then we could gift it to Zikri, make him drive it, sign a contract. You can't change a thing on this car. You have to drive us for 2 years. The horn just moans.
Either that or it plays caramel dancing.
Oh, that's all. The first 5 minutes as it warms up till the temperature gets up. It's set to the temp gauge. It gets to optimal right. It keeps playing.
That's terrible. That sounds like, awful. Oh, Zikri, apparently Zikri has a question. It's just the word no. No, it's just
Oh man.
This is the worst idea.
I know. It's great. All right, I know. That's why it's going to be gold.
So, whenever we do
the next episode, I just like the idea of getting also. I didn't want to do the Subaru because I was going to get the Subaru Sandvar truck so we can make truck coon. Just drive around.
Terrible.
The drum beats. Drive around my truck coon. Anyways. Yeah.
So whenever we do the next media episode, it's either going to be honorable mentions or the last ones on our list.
No. Got to do honorable mention first.
The last ones on our list, which are initial D for you, Asimov for Reinhold, and Your Line April for me.
Yep.
And it's going to be really, I have a feeling that this last one's going to be a longer one of our Monday shows. I feel like we all have a lot to talk about on our last ones.
Yeah, it's initial D.
Well, I mean, yours is cars go down track fast.
Fuck you. A lot of passion and love in initial D. Okay. You have noise. What if I could get like the Boss Hog of Liberty, make them watch it with me?
They probably would enjoy it.
Maybe the movie. I'd probably get the movie on them. It's the nice condensed racing movie.
Just get through an hour. More because racing's not my thing. So
yeah,
meme on it.
It's fine.
And Asimov is basically one of the most influential science fiction writers, period.
Well, this is like,
going to be interesting.
It's like, I don't know if I've read or seen anything of Asimov, but I have watched, but most of my sci-fi is based off people who love Asimov. So, I'm, I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen it and not known it.
Probably.
Just like Philip K. Dick, who's one of, one of my honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
You realize how many Philip K. Dick short stories were made into movies that you didn't know were Philip K. Dick stories made into movies, like Minority Report and Blade Runner, and just blah 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 blah. There's tons of them.
I've never seen those two.
Haven't seen Blade Runner? Okay,
I don't even know what that's about. It's got Woody Harrelson in it, right?
That's the one where they go into that video game called Tron, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now remember the
Kenny Rogers? The, is in it? Kenny Rogers, right? Kenny Rogers.
Remember the Keanu Reeves movie that was all done in art, drawn art style over the cells?
Yeah, they had the bus. Yeah.
Constantine?
No, Scanner Darkly, but yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's Philip K. Dick.
Oh man. Alex Jones is in that movie. Scanner Darkly? Alex Jones is in that movie.
Okay. Okay. I'll go back and figure that out.
What? Do you remember Alex Jones
in that movie? One of the cops or something?
Oh, he's the crazy guy yelling on the street with the bus cut of the guys in the black thing. They throw him in a van. That's freaking Alex Jones.
Okay.
I'm serious.
No, I'm not doubting you. I'm not the big you just Alex Jones fan. I never noticed
He predicted his own future.
I enjoy Alex Jones content. I still enjoy Alex Jones content.
Those are fun to find, those weird pieces and movies. Like if you watch Spinal Tap, there's a scene in there where Billy Crystal's playing a mime, right? Which isn't the funniest part. The funniest part is that he's directing, so he's like the main mime. He's telling the other mimes what to do, and the other mime that he's yelling at is Dana Carvey. It's like his first role ever. Non-speaking, of course, but it was hilarious. That's Dana Carvey. And it was.
She could talk to Spangle to help greenlight up some cash so we can do a Spinal Tap-esque podcast movie. Whatever, it'd be funny. It'd be hilarious.
It'd be hilarious, but it'd be... He's so unrealistic.
Not seen Spinal Tap?
Oh, I know. I've seen Spinal Tap. That's the point. That's why it makes it fun. I was like, man, think about how to make this interesting. It's like, oh yeah, me. I just hung out with my friend Joe Rogan. Yeah, he personally blessed my podcast with DMT.
I am my first 100 downloads. This way, I get an extra 100. See. I download 100.
I have 100 different devices.
All sitting there. I got 100 iPhones in the basement. All downloading the
podcast. I can spin up 100 VMs real quick and just do a pop, 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 pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop. You know, honestly, like you could do that. So you could use Terraform script, pop them all up, get a brand new WAN IP in the matter of like minutes. Download, just tell download episode, turn all off, and just keep stepping. You know, especially like if you all Amazon free script. Just have free tier. All you need is like a bit. Anyways, don't do that, people. That's awful. Don't do that. Anyways, this episode is getting super long in the truth. So if you've been listening this long, I thank you. Could you give a listen to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this? You know, you abandoned not listening to Tim Pool and Steve Crowder tonight, and you listen to this, and I appreciate that. To all those who listen to this on the podcast, remember, this is a live show recording at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday nights. So come out, hang out with us, throw questions at us. Let us talk. We talk about neat things, and as long as we're not talking about our media episode, I'm kind of willing to like turn on a dime on some stuff, depending on what it is. Vincent won't turn to gas stoves. I don't know. We'll get him. I think it's because he has his gas stove and he doesn't want people to take it from him. He's over there like, come and take it. You know,
it's
he's
so stupid.
Moving on gas stove over here. It's but
on gas stove.
Anyways, what I was going to say, like, yeah, we did our big show last Friday. We're going to do another one in February because, you know, it's our fun live show. And now we got the studio set up. It should be more fun trying to get everyone here in person and doing things together. So, yeah, that's about it. Just to, I appreciate you guys are out there. I see you guys downloading the episodes through the analytics, and it brings a small tear to my eye when I see you guys all downloading the episodes and continuous downloading, because one time's a mistake. Now we got you hooked. I appreciate it. So we're going to end this. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Right. Brian Holden waved on the audio version. So thanks for
coming. I say goodbye.
Okay.
Right, just sultry tones.
Yeah,
just do my radio voice.
There you go. All right. Mending the broadcast now.